today is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 32 and 33. We left off speaking to you last week how that Jacob had just been delivered out of one trouble, and immediately he was brought again into great distress and great fear. For he had sent messengers to his brother Esau, and Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men. And when Jacob heard that Esau was coming to meet him with this amount of men, he knew that he had no chance whatsoever to stand up against his brother with that amount of men. Therefore, he decided that he would separate the company that he had into two bands. And this he did, thinking that if he come to smite the first, why then the second could escape. Jacob then, in wisdom, separated the people that were with him in this way. And Jacob, he was greatly afraid, and he feared that he would be slain and everyone that was with him. In this fear and in this trouble, we find that Jacob has recourse to God in prayer. The Lord says, call upon me in the day of your trouble, and I will hear thee, and I will answer thee. And Jacob went and began to pray to God in all his fear and distress. And he said, O Lord God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the Lord that said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will do thee well. I am unworthy of all the mercies and the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this river, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me out of the hand of my brother, namely Esau, for I fear him, that he shall slay me with the mother and the children. And thou hast said unto me that thou wilt do me well. Thou hast promised to make my seed as the sand of the sea. Jacob offers up here a wonderful prayer, my hearers. Jacob announces to God that he was the God of Abraham, the God of his father Isaac. Such a sight he had of this great God in heaven above. So this God who had promised Abraham that his seed would be as the stars of heaven. This God who had come to his own father Isaac and manifested himself as his God to him. But if you will take notice, he did not say, my God, the Lord, he says, that told me to return unto my country and to my kindred. This Jacob, he has then recourse to God. This teaches us, my hearers, whatever fear, whatever distress, whatever frightens us, should bring us on our knees, should bring us in prayer and in supplication to this great God in heaven above. Jacob did this, and we find that Jacob likewise reminds God of his promise to him. The Lord that said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred. Merciful God, what a wonder that he had given unto Jacob such a promise and had commanded him to return. This was a very great encouragement to Jacob that he was in the right way, that he hadn't went himself. And now the trouble came upon him in the way that God had commanded him to go. He had every right to go to God with that commandment and remind him of what he had said to him. And Jacob, he likewise was given in this prayer something wonderful, my hearers. For he says, I am unworthy of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I have passed over this ford Jabbok, and now I am become two bands. Oh, it's such a wonderful blessing, my hearers, when in prayer we are given to behold the mercies, the blessings, and the truth that God has shown unto us in our past life. Jacob called to mind how that he left his father's house. He left because of his brother Esau, who sought to slay him. He had to flee, and he left with only a staff in his hand. And this great God had met him, had given him such a wonderful vision of himself at Bethel, had spoken unto him, and given him that assurance that he would be with him, and that he would not leave him till he had fulfilled what he had spoken to him of. Jacob had received the mercies of mercies at this place, my hearers. Have you ever received something like this in your life? Do you remember the time when God met with you and showed mercy to you, had a favor towards you, gave you a promise that he would be with you, that he would not leave you nor forsake you, that he would help you through every difficulty you would encounter in life? Oh, the mercy of mercies, my hearers, to have this God with you. Jacob had him with him. And now Jacob likewise looks at the company that he was returning with. Oh, how God had richly blessed this man. Oh, he had went with a staff, and now he had two bands. He had an innumerable multitude of cattle, and he had 12 children, 11 sons, and a daughter he had. And he was returning according to the commandment of God. All this, what God had granted unto him providentially, was so great to him too. Oh, he became under the feeling of all what God had given unto him, spiritually as well as providentially, so unworthy. Oh, I am unworthy of all the mercies and the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. Have any of my hearers ever been brought into their unworthiness? Have you ever been given to see the mercies, the blessings that God has given unto you, whether you be young or whether you be old? If we look back, we have places in our life where we may see the hand of God protected us, he kept us, he fed us. Some of you young men have been in the service. You've been brought back healthy and well. Others have fell upon the field of battle. You were mercifully spared. You are gathered with us this afternoon. Do you remember those mercies? Never forget them. May they humble your heart. May they lead you to true repentance. The mercy of God over you. It may be for that purpose that you may receive grace, may receive pardon yet in this life. How many people listening to me have been sick, have been ill, have been afflicted, have been nigh unto death at times, and God has restored you. God spared your life, raised you up again. Oh, the mercies of this God towards sinners. That's what we are, my hearers. And this is what we become. When these mercies become so great, they overwhelm us, they humble us, they break us down, they make us nothing in the sight of God. Oh, the unworthiness that Jacob felt when he saw all the riches that God had given unto him. Has God blessed you providentially? Has God given you an abundance of this world's goods, that you have need of nothing, that you have plenty to eat, plenty to drink, and that you have a home to dwell in and many other mercies that God has given to you. Oh, be thankful. Praise his name. Who are you that you should have all these things? You are but a sinner in the sight of God, and you deserve no mercies whatsoever. You deserve his wrath, his anger, his curse. Jacob in this place was brought by the Spirit of God to feel just what he was and what God had been to him. Oh, that I could bring every one of my hearers to that place where Jacob was. That's a good place to be, my hearers, to be nothing in the sight of God. This is where Jacob was at this present time. And now Jacob likewise reminds God of his promise to him that he would make his seed as the sand of the sea. Lord, he says, here I am now. Here my brother's coming to meet me, and I haven't anything to defend myself with. And you've promised to be with me. You've promised to do well to me. You've promised even that you're going to multiply my seed like the sand of the sea. What will become of these promises, Lord, if Esau comes and slays us? What will happen then? Oh, what a hold he had already on this God with his promises that God had given unto him. Oh, he feared greatly. He was in distress. Have you ever been in fear? Have you ever been in distress, my hearers? And has God in his mercy heard you and answered you and delivered you out of your fears and your distresses? Or there may be some souls here spiritually that are in distress, or that are in great fear. Their conscience is smiting them. Their sins rise up against them day by day, and they fear that everything is wrong, and that soon God is going to cast them away. But let me ask you, are you not at times on your knees? Are you not crying to this God in all your fears? Sometimes have you not a little hope that he will deliver you? He who hath delivered in the past will most certainly deliver in the future. It happened here with Jacob. Jacob had been delivered once out of the hand of Laban, and now Jacob likewise was in trouble, but he was appealing unto that faithful God who had carried him to this present place, and he expected that God would help him and deliver him. And now we find that Jacob, he takes so many cattle of his own and decides to give unto Esau a present. He took 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 she-sheep and 20 males. Then he got 30 millet camels with their colts. And then he likewise gave 40 bulls and so many she kine. A total of 580 animals that he made a present of to give to Esau, his brother. This millet camels may be interesting for you to learn, which it was for me. These camels are a wonderful present. The Arabs, they do not estimate the wealth of a person in money, but they estimate their wealth in camels. As you know, camels are of great utility in going through the deserts. They're very needful for the Arabs when they travel through these sandy countries, and they themselves must be brought to realize that it was God that gave these animals. These animals are used by the Eastern people in the first place. The milk that these animals give is drunk by almost all. They divide this milk into three parts of water. They then drink the milk, and they likewise eat part of the camel for food. The camel, likewise, he has two sinews running down his neck. These sinews, when the animal is killed, is taken and used for ropes, very strong ropes. The skin is used for soles on the shoes, and likewise making bags to carry water in across the desert. They likewise make sacks of corn for these camels, the sacks that they put corn in. Odd, you would say, if you listen, even the dung of these animals is used for fuel. Then even the urine, these eastern people, they wash their hair 3 times a week, male and female, with this urine. It's a customary thing for them. So you see then that this animal is of great value to these eastern people. And this was a great gift on the part of Jacob to give 30 Milch camels with their colts. He gave them a total, as I said, of 580 cattle. He separated them in droves, and he instructed those that were with these droves that when they met his brother Esau, they should explain to him that his brother Jacob was behind them, and that this was a present from Jacob for Esau. For he said, I will appease my brother with this present, thinking that surely Esau would be pacified to him when he seen what he was sending him as a present. And now he took his wives and his children, and he brought them over the ford Jabbok. And he returned back all alone. And Jacob was all alone. As I have been teaching you, Jacob had been praying, and now he returned to prayer. He was all alone, and he began again to supplicate unto God for help and for protection from Esau, his brother. And as he was in the act of praying, there came a man and wrestled with him, one in the form of a man, wrestled with Jacob, the one that gives prayer, that hears prayer, and that answers prayer, took hold of Jacob. And Jacob found that in his prayer there was such an urge, such a necessity, such a feeling as he had not experienced in all his prayers before. For this man wrestled with him. It was not in his own power. It was not in his own strength, but it was in the strength of him that had come down and wrestled with him. And who was this one? And none other but the angel of the covenant, Jesus Christ. He came and wrestled with Jacob. And Jacob was given such power from on high, supernatural power, that he had a hold on him, that he had his mind made up that he would not let him go. For we find that the angel spake unto him and said, let me go, because the day breaketh. He said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh while he was wrestling with him. The thigh of a person is that part of the leg that runs from the knee to the hip. This part of the body of Jacob was touched by the angel, and he became a cripple. This thigh was then, in other words, made weak by the touch of this angel. But he still prevailed in wrestling with this angel. For the angel wrestled with him, but he likewise wrestled back. And the angel said unto him, What is thy name? He said, Jacob. Thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but it shall be called Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and man. He then had prevailed over God himself in this capacity that God gave him to do this. And he had such a hold of him that he would not let him go. And he received the blessing that he was seeking after. And he blessed him, it says. What did he bless him with? The Bible doesn't say. When we consider this meeting that Jacob had now with this angel, Jacob was in great fear. Jacob was in great distress. Why? For fear of death, for fear of being destroyed by his brother Esau. Jacob had not yet received pardon, had not yet received peace with God, had not yet received Christ Jesus as his Redeemer, and had that assurance that his sins were forgiven. Jacob was in great distress spiritually likewise. Jacob then needed someone not only to deliver him out of the hand of Esau, but he needed someone to deliver his soul. It had been 20 years back that he had met God at Bethel. 20 years had gone over his head. Much he had experienced of God's countenance even in those 20 years. But he had not received the full deliverance of his sins. And here now, in this distress which God had by providence brought him into, he was led by the angel of the covenant, coming down and taking hold of him, to have such a hold of him and not to leave him go until his sins were forgiven, that he found a reconciled face in the person of this angel that wrestled with him. Jacob, he then was given to find that he was a cripple when this took place. Jacob, he says, after this wrestling match, when the sun rose and he arose too, then he says, I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved. My hearers, Jacob then had been given to know who he was wrestling with. For when he asked the name of this angel, the angel, he said, why is it that thou askest for my name? Do you not think that Jacob knew who he was wrestling with? He surely did. He needn't have asked him who his name was. But he wanted this as a memorial for afterwards, that he could say this and this person, the angel, Jesus Christ, had come down and wrestled with him. And now Jacob, he could say that his life had been preserved. Not only that his life would be preserved because Esau was coming, but his life, the life that God had given unto him, that life would remain. And that life was eternal life. It was in Christ Jesus, his dear son, that he had received this. The commentary don't teach us this, my hearers. But what I am teaching you at the present time, and maybe you think maybe I'm wrong. But I could assure you that out of the mouth of Jacob that I'm right. For when Jacob was lying on his deathbed, then Joseph his son brought his two sons to him, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Joseph, he wanted to change the hands of his father Jacob when he was going to bless his two sons. But Jacob says, I know what I do, son. He said, the angel of the covenant, he says, that redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. When did he meet that angel of the covenant? When was he redeemed? Right here, my dear, is what I'm talking about. At this particular place, he had experienced redemption. He had experienced pardon and peace with God. He had seen God face to face. And his soul, in Holland says, was delivered. In English, the Bible says, and his life was preserved. My hearers, there aren't too many people that experience this. Your teacher hasn't experienced it either. But, oh, there are times that we long to come to this place. And if you will take particular notice, what went before this? Great fear, great distress. His life was at stake. It was. He was going to be eternally cut off if Esau killed him. This is where God brings his dear children. They are brought to the place where everything is cut off. There's nothing left. And then, when there isn't any hope whatsoever, then the Lord appears. Then he gives them wrestling faith. And they cannot leave him go until he blesses them. Now, my hearers, you may have had in your lifetime already wrestling faith. You may have been in deep distress, providentially and likewise spiritually. Oh, you couldn't go on any longer. It was all undone with you. You were ready to give everything up. But oh, behold, you got on your knees, and then the Lord gave you such wrestling faith. You took such a hold upon the Lord, and you would not let him go except he blessed you. And you heard his sweet voice coming down and encouraging you and giving you to believe that you were one of his sheep, that he was leading you, that he loved you. Have you ever experienced something like this in your life, my hearers? Not that your soul was delivered, not that your sins was pardoned, but that you were given to wrestle by faith with him who had promised and who likewise is faithful to his promises. For he was faithful unto Jacob, for he had said that I am unworthy of all the mercies and the truth, the faithfulness of God, shown unto him in the past, and it would be shown unto him unto the end of his life. Jacob then arose, and as the Bible says, the sun rose up when Jacob arose to pass through Peniel. He called the name of this place Peniel because there he had had a meeting with God. And all my hearers, the Bible teaches us in Malachi, the last chapter, unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise, and thou shalt find healing under his wings. Fulfilled in Jacob's experience at Peniel. The sun arose. Oh, what a blessing it was. That Son of Righteousness had arose in his soul. And oh, the sun rose too upon Jacob. Oh, what a mercy this was for this man, Jacob. And we find that he halted. He halted on his thigh. And therefore it says, the children of Israel do not eat of the sinew that is in the thigh unto this day. Why? They would not eat this particular part of meat that runs through the thigh bone unto the cup that joins the hip and the thigh. And whenever the Jewish people had an animal that they were going to eat, they would never eat that part. And of course, if they had children, the children would say, well, Pop, why don't you want to eat that? This Israelite would remind them of this experience. It was a memorial for the children of Israel to point out how that Jacob had wrestled with the angel and had prevailed, and that therefore he had become a cripple. This teaches us too, my hearers, irrespective of how much that we may enjoy of God in this life, and how that even if we may be lifted up unto the third heaven as Paul was, that we remain a cripple, so that we won't be exalted above the things that God has given unto us. Jacob remained a cripple the rest of his life spiritually. Whether he remained a cripple naturally, the Bible doesn't say. Some people think he did. But he sure was a cripple spiritually. Oh, we cannot do anything with those things that we have experienced unless God gives us to do so. We need God for every step we take in this veil of tears towards that heavenly Canaan. And so did Jacob. He needed him, even after experiencing this mercy and this blessing at Peniel. And now we find that Jacob, he sees that Esau is coming to meet him. And he separates his family. He separates his wives and their children, and he puts them in order. And he puts Rachel in the back with Joseph. Of the two handmaidens, it says, he put foremost, and Leah next, and Rachel last. And he himself, he went in the front of them all. You will notice this. First, he was so full of fear, so he was in distress. He feared to meet Esau, but now he had no fear. Why? He had been given to commit his case unto God. He trusted in the Lord, and he was safe. Whatever Esau wanted to do to him, it was in the hands of God. He had left it there at that place. He had that assurance that God would take care of him. And now he went in the front of them, and he went to meet his brother Esau. And as he went to him, he bowed seven times to the earth in respect to this Esau, who was born at the same time he was, but was the firstborn, in respect to him being the elder. Oh, it's a great blessing, my hearers, to be the least, to be humble. Jacob, he bowed himself to the ground before Esau. Oh, he didn't know what Esau was going to do. He didn't know when Esau started to run or whether he was going to come and slay him. Jacob knew not. But Jacob trusted in God. Oh, you're safe, my hearers. If ever God gives you something to trust in him for, you may be sure you are safe. Oh, it's such a blessing when you can leave your burden with God. This is what Jacob was given to do. And now, instead of Esau coming to him with a sword to slay him, then we find a miracle that happened to Esau. Oh, God has the hearts of our greatest enemies in his hands. He can change an enemy into a friend. Think of David and King Saul. David had every opportunity to slay him. If you read the 26th chapter of the first book of Samuel, you find that he was in a cave and David could have slain Saul. But he did not, because he was the anointed of the Lord. And he called to him and he spoke to him. And Saul, he became so repentant. He said, "I have sinned," he says. "Return, my son David, and I will harm thee no more." He had been seeking to slay David. You see, God, he can change the greatest enemy into a friend. And think of this other Saul, Paul, on the way to Damascus, the greatest enemy of the church at that time. He was going to Damascus to slay the saints that were there and to take them back to Jerusalem to be prisoners. And God stopped him. Here we have Esau. He was fully intent when he left his home to slay Jacob. But when he got to Jacob, God worked such a change in this man's affections in his mind that instead of slaying him, he ran to him and he fell upon him and he kissed him and he embraced him. and they both wept, it says. Wouldn't you like to see a meeting like that, huh? I hope every one of you may have a meeting like this with God sometimes, my hearers. It's similar to like the prodigal son. Oh, what a wonder this must have been for Jacob and for Esau, both of them. Oh, he, instead of being filled with enmity, instead of thinking of the past, instead of having this revenge in his mind and in his heart, he was full of love and affection to Jacob, just the opposite. And he kissed him. Oh, I'm sure they stood there for a while, hugging each other. The wonder of it, the mercy of it.